2, Bick and the Boss, on the official home of the Canucks.
Tiki Pete comes out of the box and puts the puck into the back of the net.
Sportsnet 650.
What is up? Welcome back to Bick and the Boss. Bick Nizar and Craig McEwen, brought to you by Avenue Machinery. Give yourself the Avenue advantage and stay under the cap by saving thousands on select Kubota skid steers and excavators. Visit avenuemachinery.ca. I still can't believe the lawn techs that we're getting in. People with a lot of different tips and tricks, and other people trying to sell us on their own business. Hire me for your landscaping needs. Into our 650 inbox.
It could be called Green Thumb segment. We could talk about Travis Green. We could also talk about lawns and cutting lawns. Normally the grass talk on the station is about a different type of grass, but anyways.
That was, you know, maybe Travis didn't want to face the lawn questions yesterday, and that's why he ran off.
He got on his John Deere and took off out of the rink.
Jumped on his mower and got the hell out of there. The interesting thing about that whole thing yesterday, too, is, like, what was the question that was going to be the save all for, you know, what happened last night? We know what's going on. They're gassed. They're exhausted. There's no clip. It's better that he walked off to give everyone something rather than the magical thing that he's going to say that really is the viral moment. That was the viral moment. That was the best that could have been that could have come out of that press conference last night. So
yeah, actions speak louder than words.
Exactly.
That was it. And yeah, sometimes you just don't want to give that opportunity. Any more questions? No, I'm gone. You know, you hate when that happens is at a press conference when someone does that. And you know, we've seen these coaches of all types, you know, hold court, you know, be funny, be direct, get angry, and you know, Belichick kind of grumbles and everything. But, yeah, that was a moment last night for sure. I think Travis's actions really kind of spoke volumes.
Yannick Hansen joining us now, longtime NHLer and 10 years with the Vancouver Canucks. Did you ever walk away from a press conference or a media scrum, Yannick?
No, I take those ones in whenever I can. No, I haven't had the need to. Obviously, there are times when you're being kept out, coach don't have that option. But players, you get pulled aside and say today is probably not your day to talk if something has happened, whether it's on the ice, off the ice. So they kind of shield you from having to do that.
I know the crack PR staff here in Vancouver, and you know whether it was TC Carling back today, Chris Brumwell, Ben Brown, Steph Maniego, all of them. Did they help you in that sort of stuff? Because there's a school of thought, and I'll give you an example. When I went down to cover the San Francisco 49ers years ago, and Colin Kaepernick was their quarterback, and they were going to a Super Bowl, and he was the worst ever. Like, he gave 2- and 3-word answers, and I guess Harbaugh, his coach, told him, hey, don't not answer the question. Just answer it badly or really short answers, and they won't bother you. Did you ever get that advice? Just answer it, but just don't be very good at it, and then people will leave you alone.
Well, we had media training. Obviously, it was part of every camp, especially back when there were rookie camps as well. Kind of get you into the groove of everything. But again, it's also I wouldn't say they coach you. But if you guys are asking hockey questions, there's only so many ways you can answer them. So that's pretty simple. It's more so if it's something outside of the ordinary has happened, they'll come pull you aside. Hey, you get asked about this and this and this. Maybe point a direction towards this and this and stay away from that. Like I said, kind of shielding the players a little bit. A lot of times you know what's going on, but still, again, some of the questions that get thrown at you, if you haven't had a chance to kind of hear them beforehand, they might catch you off guard a little bit.
Yannick Hansen joining us. Wanted to get your thoughts on what happened in New York yesterday. The Rangers and Capitals playing, and Tom Wilson, post whistle scrum, it happens all the time, obviously, but he's got Pavel Buchnevich pinned down, face down on the ice. His stick is below his neck and throws a punch. And ultimately, he gets a $5,000 fine for that. And then it continues. You know, Panarin jumps on his back. They wrestle, and he winds up, you know, tossing Panarin off of him and also slamming him down into the ice. And a lot of people looked at that and said, okay, that's the one that deserves a suspension. I look at the punch to me is the one that was a bit classless. And obviously he gets fined for that. But he hasn't been suspended now. And it feels to me like the NHL is reinforcing and promoting this type of player. And it's $5,000 is still $5,000. Nobody likes getting fined. Nobody likes losing money. But is that enough of a penalty to stop these types of things from happening?
No, the only thing that it's a warning and it counts against if you do something in the future. So the $5,000 for Tom Wilson is pocket change, obviously, but what it does is it sets a precedent. So does he do something the rest of the season here, then they're going to throw the book at him. The punch, it happens in the scrum all the time. You give somebody an extra whack or whatever it might be, but it looked like he could have hurt Panarin. It looks like he is hurt. It's Rangers are out of it. It's their two most skilled players. Like, leave them be. Let them get on summer holiday here two or three games from now, and that being it. You're set in your playoff ways, all those things. Why risk getting a 5-6-7-game suspension for something you do in a game that doesn't really matter? That's more so what I'm looking at when I'm looking at that situation.
Yeah, it seems a bit reckless, doesn't it, Yannick, in the sense of where the Rangers are at, what the Capitals have to play for. So internally in the locker room, and we know the Capitals love Wilson, they love his style of play, they love what he does, but does someone in that situation pull him aside and say, hey, listen, bud, we have bigger things to play for, instead of snapping and pounding Panarin like that, just leave him alone. He's a goal scorer, he's not a fighter. Is internally, does a locker room take care of that as well to make sure that he does the right thing the next time?
I'll give you an example. Rafi Torres, he threw those thunderous hit, and if you guys remember, two games before the playoff, he catches Eboli with one of those hits as well, and misses the first two games against Chicago. Nobody says a word to Rafi because that was part of his game. That was why he was feared on the ice. It was somewhat more allowed, but people were afraid when he was on the ice. They were looking over their shoulder because where is he coming from? And it makes team play tentative. So nobody spoke a word. As soon as he came back, first game back, he threw another, crushing hit. And it's one of those things that if this guy needs to be efficient, effective, he needs to play this way. Guys need to be afraid of him. What is he going to do? Is he going to Coco bonk me on top of the head? Is he going to run me through the walls? You don't know, but it makes you think. It makes defensemen a little bit scared of going back from the pucks. Like I said, again, this might not be the right time to do it, but you want him playing on the edge all the time. So you put that doubt into whoever you're playing against. What's going to happen here? I might get hurt. I'm probably just going to get rid of the puck. He needs to play on that edge. Obviously, he can't step over the line, but you need to play with that fear.
There's a saying here in North America, probably Texas it came from, you mess with the bull, you get the horns. And last night, you know, Panarin jumping on his back, I give him credit for sticking up for his teammate, but in reality, once you get on there and you see the anger in Wilson and what he does, did you ever have a moment where you kind of stepped into something where you're like, oh man, I've squared off against the wrong tough hombre here, or you saw something similar on the ice where it's a scrum and you pair off and you're like, oh, why did I get this dance partner? Would anything ever come across in your career like that?
One of my very first regular seasons with Portland Winterhawks, I came over from Denmark and there was a scrum and I jumped on somebody, and by the time we got pulled out of the scrum, the guy is 2 or 3 inches taller than me and have been fighting for the last 5 or 6 years of his career, and I had not. So I ended up with goose eggs everywhere on top of my head, trying to just hold on and do everything I could to take him down. So, yes, it happens to most of us. With experience, you kind of know and start to realize, okay, stay clear of that guy and that guy. And if it's here, then we're all right. But, yeah, it's not fun when you realize that you poked the bear.
I guess the issue I have with the whole Tom Wilson moment is it feels like it's another deviation from the code. And look, the punches in the scrum happen all the time, but to me it was a defenseless guy, and Tom Wilson knows he's defenseless. He's face down on the ice, and you know, we've talked about the quote-unquote code a lot recently with the Simmons and Edler fight as well. How much do you feel is the code is very flexible, or is that stuff that you guys can figure out on the ice?
The code only applies to other people. It doesn't apply to yourself. You talk about it when you feel like you're wrong, but you step over that line too, and you're like, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to apply by it. So it is, it's very generic, and it is very... like, how do you want to interpret yourself, and when is it beneficial to you, and all those things? It's not really there anymore. Like, yeah, now that the league take care of it, so there ain't that, okay, we need payback here. It's just not there anymore, because now guys get suspended 7, 8, 9, 10 games for things that would have to be settled on a fight the next game or a line brawl or wherever it might be. So that code was really erased when the lead starts stepping in and handing out those suspensions that kind of keeps everything in check, keeps everything from boiling over. So in terms of what's okay and what's not, I don't think it's there anymore.
Yannick Hansen joining us here on Bick and the Boss. Yannick, if we now shift focus to the Canucks, it seems that they're willing and wanting and trying to push. And for two periods last night, you know, they're in that hockey game for the most part. And then in the third, you know, one shot in 15 minutes, they fall behind. And you know, Edmonton's a very good hockey team, but man, how do they find a way to get out of this kind of tough cycle that they're in? Or is it even possible considering the schedule they have? And I know pro athletes don't like to use excuses or won't talk about things at the time, but just from a physical point of view, I mean, we've talked about it with you before, but what can the Canucks do to kind of at least get a win here and there during this very tough part of the schedule?
Yeah, so now I got two sides to that story, because the fan and cheering for the team don't want them winning. Yesterday was a perfect result. You need to get as low as that bottom, get another draft pick, high as possible, hopefully add a player like Hughes or Pettersson next year or the following year. So that part of me that don't want to see them win any more games. Get as low as you get as good a player as possible. The other part, obviously, like, it's very demoralizing coming to the rink every day now. Like, it's mentally tough showing up, and you're looking at your lineup and you're like, yeah, okay, this is going to be another night in my end. I'm going to be on the highlight reel with McDavid, and it's not going to be pretty. Let's dig down here and not get embarrassed. And again, if you can scrape out a win here or there, feel good about how your game is going, you're playing the systems, you feel like you're gaining a little bit of chemistry with whoever is in the lineup, because it seems like it is, like the dice are getting rolled now with all these guys out, that you really have no idea who's playing with who and where. So it's you just want to get some sort of good feeling out there, whether it's generating a couple of opportunities. There's a couple of the young guys here. You don't want to see goose eggs next to their names after them having played 10, 12, 15 games here to round out the season. You'd like to see them get on the scoreboard, feel what it's like to score in the NHL, feel like what it's like to win, because they're going to see a lot of adversity here down the line. So see if you can find some positives for the individual players, but also for the team.
With these remaining 10 games, you're talking about showcasing some new guys and all that sort of stuff, and obviously fans like to see new faces, but you know, the thing I reflect upon last night, and it's been stuck in my head all day, and there is a massive speed difference right now between them and let alone the teams in the Canadian division, but they're going to expand and play the rest of the league next year. And I look at this and how do you improve heading into next season? It just feels like there's a gap that is too difficult for them to overcome right now.
Yeah, right now when you look at the lineup, it is too big. You do have some of the pieces. Like if you look around, you have Marner and Matthews in Toronto, obviously McDavid and Dreisaitl, but you do have Petey and Quinn, who are young Calder Trophy, who could grow up to be those kind of players where you're like, oh shit, we got to play against Vancouver, and these are the guys. Again, are they going to take that step to follow in those footsteps? That's what we're all hoping for. So you do have some of the pieces. To me, that there is a big gap now starting to show, like, who's going to be the core around the young guys. Bo is still in the right age. Miller is getting older if you're looking 2 or 3 years down the line. So is Smith. He's going to be well into his 30s if you're thinking you're going to be competing 2 or 3 years down the line. What are you going to do with those two? Are those two where you can, okay, are we going to do a complete rebuild here and stack as much as we can so we are truly have a bunch of guys around the same age and it's not just a couple that are on their twilight that have to pick up the slack as well. There's a lot of questions that need answering. And again, it's out of the draft. You're not going to find anything free agency that's going to push you over the top. I don't believe it. The guys that become available, there are a reason they're available on July 1st. Either they want too much money or they're over the hump. They're on the way downwards trajectory, where obviously Vancouver is not in that position. So maybe it's a matter of clearing some cap space, taking on a bad deal or two to get another good draft pick or a young player, whatever it might be. But there needs to be more deals that are in the right direction instead of these sideways deals where you're like, okay, we're staying kind of status quo, but status quo is not good enough. So it's obviously the summer is very important, and a lot of these guys that are in the lineup right now obviously aren't going to be anywhere close to this team come the fall. So a lot of things will change as well. But again, they need to make some decisions, some tough decisions, I think.
Can you, in this day and age, and I know how hard it is to make a trade because numbers have to match with the salary cap and, you know, money in, money out, but can you, I won't say trade your way out of this problem, but is that also an avenue besides the draft somewhere where the Canucks could look at if they could make a hockey trade that made sense to, you know, maybe give up one of their promising players for someone that maybe would fit better here than what they currently have?
No, because I think that's sideways. Unless you're trading an older player for a younger player, which not a lot of teams are going to do that, unless they're like win right now kind of thing, where the older player is a little bit better. Like the way you're getting it is by taking a terrible deal off of somebody else's hand, and then they're tossing you a first-round draft pick just for the heck of it. And then, yeah, Frank is going to bite the bullet and pay this guy for a year or two. But then that year or two, we're not going to be competing anyways. If that's their game plan, they're looking 2 or 3 years down the line, then you're starting at looking at some of those where, like, Nate Smith is a great example. That was a tremendous pickup. If Vancouver is right there in the playoff, and are we going to win 2 or 3 rounds, or where are we? But now it's just like, yeah, you got this guy who is prime of his career, but Vancouver aren't in that position right now. So it's like, it's one of those things where your value is, it's also tough to give up on it. So it's, they have to look at themselves in the mirror and be realistic as well. What are our expectations and what can we achieve in the near future, or like this retooling that has been going on now for 6, 7, 8 years that has given us one playoff real. Do we need to scratch it again or whatever it might be? But like I said, there are some tough decisions, but I think too much sideways trading and stuff has been going on where the direction is kind of hard to see, at least from the outside.
Yannick Hansen, as he does every Tuesday at 2 o'clock, joining myself and Craig McEwen. Yannick, thank you very much, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, take care. Enjoy the weather.
Oh, absolutely. It's turned out to be a gorgeous day. Hopefully it stays nice for the Canucks on the ice tonight at 7 o'clock. Batch and Hershey with the call. Your Land Rover pregame show with Sat, Dan, Randeep at 5 o'clock. Ian and Dunbar. Yannick is the most objective and honest 22 minutes in your show each week.
We should have asked Yannick about his lawn, though. We really missed the boat there. Like, you know, how does he take care of his lawn? That was the one, the gardening question escaped us. Yeah, no, Ian and Dunbar is correct. Yannick is so forthright, honest, you know, tells it like he sees it. And I really appreciate it because not every player, when they leave the game, Bick, can separate that player mentality and, you know, kind of speak their mind. And listen, he's not being vindictive. He's not being disrespectful. He's just using his brain, his history, his knowledge to break down what all of us fans, media members try to do as well. So that it is super refreshing. He's very good at what he does and provides incredible insight and honesty, in my opinion.
It was interesting to note there his thoughts on the whole Tom Wilson thing. A bit more subdued than I thought players would view it. But I guess, you know, players have been in those scrums. They know what it's like. And
well, it's so hard, and that's why I wanted to ask him his moment because, you know, I've never played a game in the National Hockey League, but I can tell you back during one of the labor stoppages, they had a media training camp. Mark Crawford and Mike Johnson, what a treat, eh? They get to coach us media folks up for 3 days. So we had practices, we had game film, we did everything, fitness training, everything that the Canucks would do to give the media an understanding or an insight into what goes on as a hockey player. And it was really a once-in-a-lifetime experience. And it culminated with a game against the alumni. And playing for the alumni was Tiger Williams. And, you know, some people out there are probably too young to even know what or who a Tiger Williams is. But let me tell you, talk about a tough guy. Like, Tiger was one of the all-time best fighters. He could score goals. You know, he rode his hockey stick. Anyways, Alec Tidy, who was a bit of a family friend, who played a bit in the American Hockey League, skates up to me in at the face-off, and he says, "Hey, Craig, how's it going? How are you feeling?" "Oh, good, Alec. How are you doing?" He goes, "Oh, by the way, I told Tiger that you thought he was a blank." And I looked at him and goes, "What are you talking about? I didn't say that." He goes, "I know that, but Tiger doesn't." I kid you not, Bick, the rest of the game, Tiger Williams chased me around the ice every scrum in front of the net, and it's a media fun game. I'm getting punched, and my face mask is getting pulled off, like my visor, and he's hitting me, he's chasing me. And he also laid out, I can't remember the name of the traffic reporter, but she had her head down in the neutral zone, and Tiger stepped into her. Oh, dude, they killed us both on the scoreboard and on the ice. But yeah, Tiger chased me around, and I kept saying, "Tiger, I didn't say anything." And Alec Tidy was just killing himself laughing. It was a great moment and a fun time, and I got out of there alive.
All right. Well, now I know who to try to call to you know, get someone on your case for this show. Bick Nizar, Craig McEwen. I do want to expand on his thoughts there, where you mentioned Nate Schmidt. Just to, you know, here's a guy who's going to be turning 30, and it looks a lot tougher for where the Canucks are. You acquire a guy who's in his prime because you think you're ready for a playoff push, but you're in a scenario where are you ready to be in a playoff hunt? And what do you do with a guy who's got 4 years left on his contract at 30 years old? You got to start trying to replenish everything. Is this a way you manage to do it? We'll discuss that. We'll also talk to Tyler Zickle, opening day for the Vancouver Seas coming up. He is the voice of the Vancouver Canadiens. We'll touch on that on the way here on Bick and the Boss on the home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
Suck it up, crank it up, or shut up. It's Canucks game day. Coverage begins at 5 on Sportsnet 650.
It was likely a mom who said life is not a dress rehearsal. And this Mother's Day, the one day dedicated to moms, is your chance to show her how grateful you are. Moms are the rock, the glue, the heart and soul of any family unit. Don't let Mother's Day go by without showing mom how much she means with a pair of white gold Tears of Joy earrings from Spence for $199. As priceless as mom is, she's more than worth it. Spence Diamonds. Find us in Vancouver and Langley.
Now you're supposed to stop something you can't see coming.
Wednesday's best dramas.
Pull up your boots, boys. Time to go battle the beast.
On City TV.
It's nice having you as the chief.
Chicago Med.
You know I can be a bit of a
hard ass.
Fire.
Get these victims out. Make sure everyone else is accounted for.
And PD.
Loyalty to protect and serve the good today.
Chicago Med. Fire and PD. All new episodes. Wednesdays on City TV. Or stream live and free at citytv.com.
If you're driving less these days, I've got good news and bad news. Good news, you're saving on gas.
Bad news, a vehicle that sits may develop issues. Good news, the All-In Spring Event has you covered. Get an oil change, full inspection, and more with peace of mind maintenance service starting at $84.95. Plus, get $20 off Mopar or Magneti Marelli brakes when you sign up for Mopar exclusives. And buy three tires, get the fourth free. See your Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram dealer for details. We built it, we know it.
You want to meet your heroes? And this is your ticket. This is Pass the Puck. During every Canucks game till May, listen for which Canuck passes the puck to a Sportsnet host. Then listen to Sportsnet 650 the next weekday to win entry for the grand prize. A round table for 10 with former Canucks, plus a $100 Zephyr Epic gift card. Pass the Puck, presented by CanStar Fire and Flood. Your life restored fast. Rules and details at sportsnet.ca/650.
This spring, take to the open road in the redesigned 2021 Jaguar F-Pace. With the latest generation of infotainment and the choice of mild hybrid technology, the new Jaguar F-Pace is more luxurious, connected, and efficient. For a limited time, lease the 2021 F-Pace from $288 bi-weekly for 42 months with $5,999 down at 2.9%. Book your safe contactless appointment today at your local Jaguar authorized retailer. Office end May 31st.
Some exciting news from Domino's Pizza. Two new features to the Feast Pizza lineup. The new Chicken Taco Pizza and Cheeseburger Pizza. Don't settle for the same old boring Taco Tuesday or just blab burgers. Go with these two new pizzas. Chicken Taco and Cheeseburger, available Canada-wide. Delicious, mouth-watering, fresh toppings. Check them out today. Give it a try at Domino's.ca. That's Domino's.ca.
North Star Metal Recycling takes your scrap. And if you're a demolition company, North Star delivers recycling containers to your site same day without interrupting the job. Whether you have room for a 30 or 40 yard bin, or you're looking for a more compact container for tighter spaces, North Star moves your metal with ease. North Star Metal Recycling. They take your scrap. On Powell Street, just west of Clark. Call 604-254-2734. Ask for Adam.
Your census invitation has arrived in the mail. Your participation will help plan programs and services for your community. Your census, your community, your future. A message from the Government of Canada.
Secon Metals, your converter, automotive core, and battery recycling specialists are in your backyard with industry-leading pricing. Secon is back in the game with automotive cores, and they offer the best prices on new and refurbished batteries, all equipped with a no-hassle warranty. Plus, with the Secon Revolution app, you get an educational tool for converter buying. For more info, visit their new website, ccon.ca. Secon, recycling done right in the Fraser Valley for over 17 years.
With all that's going on these days, let Good Food help make life a little easier. Get $80 off the number one meal kit in Canada and free contactless delivery directly to your door with fresh, fun, and delicious recipes for every palate in your household. We're making mealtime easier and safer than ever before. Get $40 off your first two orders at Good Food. That's $80 in savings. Go to makegoodfood.ca to redeem your offer with the gift code GF80. Offer valid for a limited time for new members only.
Still haven't found reliable, friendly auto service? Visit the pros at Grip Auto and Tire. They'll make sure you hit the road safely, no matter what the weather. Quality service you can trust. 14 locations. Visit Tony at CarCraft Grip Auto and Tire in Kelowna.
Every hit, shot, save, and goal. Listen to Alpine Credit's Canucks Hockey Live on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650. The People Show with Dan, Sat, and Randy.
Another big edition of The People Show. Elliot Friedman is back after a couple of weeks away. We'll ask him the latest around the Canucks. Get you set for the Canucks and Oilers. Irfan Ghaffar and former Canucks goalie Eddie Lack join us as well. Tune in, yeah?
The People Show this afternoon at 3. It's Canucks game day. Canucks, Oilers. Coverage begins at 5, right here on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650. You're listening to Bic and the Boss on Sportsnet 650.
Welcome back to Bic and the Boss. Bic Nizar, Craig McEwen. here on the home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650, also the home of the Canadiens. We'll talk to Tyler Zickel in just a moment, Vancouver Canadiens play-by-play announcer. But it is a game day, a Canucks game day. You'll hear it here on Sportsnet 650 at 7 o'clock, Oilers versus the Canucks. And Connor McDavid, C-Mac, another 4 points last night. And you know, we were joking yesterday, and joking to some degree. There's some truth, obviously, in it. He was 13 points away from 100 heading into last night's game. And there's four games coming up against Vancouver. And you would say, okay, it's difficult. It's over 3 points a game, 4 points a game. But can he do it? Can he get 100 points in another milestone moment against the Vancouver Canucks? Well, he steps up and scores 4 points last night, and suddenly you look at it and you say, hey, this is not so daunting. For a guy that's got 3 points in seven of his last eight games, I think it's I think he's going to do it. And Hershey came up to me before the game last night. It's like, yeah, how many points do you think he gets over these 4 games? And you know, we were just kind of saying 10, 11. Now it's hard not to see him getting to 100 before the end of this week.
Yeah, I'm going to take the under. I'm going to say he's not going to get there against the Canucks.
Because he gets arrested or what?
Part of that is also the Canucks' pride in not wanting to have him hit the century mark against them. Hey, listen, he's a freight train and very difficult to stop. But, you know, we talked about it last night in the intermissions. I've heard other people on the radio station talk about it. You heard Nate Schmidt talk about it. Like, you have to make him defend and work in his own end before he gets going and taking off down to race into yours. And those turnovers in the neutral zone when he can pounce and, you know, basically go from 0 to 60 in all of about a millisecond, that's where he provides and poses such danger for the Canucks. So I'm going to suggest to you, yeah, he had a big night last night. Obviously, the empty netter pads the stats a little bit, that the Canucks will find a way to stop him. He's going to get to 100, but it won't be on the Canucks' watch. They are going to find a way to slow down the McDavid train.
Pride. I don't know, man. Pride can only do so much versus the realities of the situation of, hey, you are just one player, and Connor McDavid is as good as three of them. And it looks like somebody else might have to stop Connor McDavid tonight. Rick Dhaliwal reporting. Rathbone time! So a potential lineup change tonight with Jack Rathbone potentially stepping into the lineup. Not official, but that is an early report, it seems like, of daunting task to step into the lineup tonight.
Yeah, well, I mean, hey, test yourself against the best. See where the rest lands. So why not do that? Cole Lynn's been doing that for a few games, playing against Matthews, Marner, McDavid, Dreisaitl. So, hey, and that's the thing. Like, I don't know that it translates as well on TV as it does when you see McDavid live and just how quick he is and how he just has that burst and that step. It's, you know, there's been a lot of fast skaters in the National Hockey League, but not everyone can do everything at full speed. And that's the difference between those world-class players and those ones who are just good hockey players, is that not only are they quick, but they can do everything that everyone else can at a slower speed, at that top gear, and that's why he's so dangerous.
I remember watching a warm-up, and I think it was Jarkko Ruutu, just like ridiculous moves, and you're thinking like, hey, how come he can't do this? And then suddenly you play the game, and you're moving at full speed, and there's other guys, you know, taking away your space and contesting what you want to do, and it's like, well, where are all those moves in warm-up? Well, you can't do them when the circumstances change and suddenly you're getting defended. It's so tough to do it at full speed, and some guys can do it slowing it down, but how effective is that then? Are you getting by people to make these, you know, quick, slick moves? That's the difficulty, the difficult part, and I guess it's a big test for Jack Rathbone tonight.
Yeah, and here's the thing, too. It's those guys like the McDavids, the Crosbys, that, you know, do it at top speed, but just do it so well. I mean, one of the first times I remember covering Crosby when he came to Vancouver, it might actually have been his first time here. You know, I watched him skate around the ice, and while most players were stick handling with the puck on the ice, he was skating at a really good clip, not quite his full speed, but he was like bouncing the puck off his stick off the ice, almost like a golf ball going down a golf cart. You know how it bounces around? And I'm like, why is he doing that? You know, hockey players skate with it on their stick. They're on the ice. And what I came to realize that, you know, he was doing that and practicing that so he could come at a player and pop it up and knock it and not lose stride and get by him. And I watched him do it in the game. And then a couple of years later, he comes into town and he's looking at the glass behind the net and he's skating and he flips the puck off the glass to the front of the net and comes right around the front and takes a whack at it, almost like a baseball swing. And I'm like, okay, he's just goofing around here. And he tried that in a game. He looked, he saw in the reflection of the glass what was behind him, saw the net was open, the defenseman was chasing around the net. He flips it off the net, goes out front, comes out front, takes a whack at the puck. Doesn't score, but I'm like, who does that? And he's doing it at top speed, and he's doing it with top skill, and that's the difference between the Crosby, the McDavids, and you know, the other ones who are really good hockey players. Those are the great hockey players.
We'll continue the conversation, also continue the talk about Jack Rathbone potentially being in the lineup tonight against the Edmonton Oilers. But we're joined now with Tyler Zickel, the play-by-play announcer of your Vancouver Canadiens, who opening day versus Tri-City tonight. Tyler, thanks for joining us today. How are you?
I'm great, fellas. Happy opening day for minor league baseball. 20 months in the making. I got to tell you, I am so excited. I'm sure you both are, as well as the legions of Seas fans in Vancouver and beyond. It is time for Seas baseball, at least tonight at 6:30.
Yeah, for sure. You mentioned just the long process that is to get here. It's obviously, it's such a staple of being in Vancouver, playing at the Nat. But we're not going to get that this year, but you know, just to kind of detail the process of how tough this has been for minor league ball to finally get a game going.
Absolutely. You know, so many moving parts, and you got to go all the way back to 2019 when the minor league restructuring was first announced. And of course, pre-pandemic was a big push to try and save those teams that ended up getting contracted. Unfortunately, with the season cancellation, that kind of made things inevitable and we lost a good number of teams. And that's how things got restructured as they did. Now we come back this year, and that being said, because the pandemic is still going on, it made it especially difficult for the Canadians to figure out how are we going to play baseball this year. Our team president Andy Dunn has made it very clear that the most important thing is to get the Seas back out on the field, take care of the players, the staff, and the fans that will come visit us in Hillsboro, make sure everybody is safe, taken care of, but has a chance to enjoy my favorite pastime and America's favorite pastime, and also for the summer, Vancouver's favorite pastime for the most part, certainly. Of course, got to talk about the ice a little bit when you go north of the border, but so many different moving parts, and a tip of the cap to all involved, front office, back office, field staff, everybody doing their part. Our staff here in Vancouver, led by manager Donnie Murphy, has done a terrific job making sure these players are ready to go with the short runway to get started after arriving from minor league spring training last week, and the boys are locked in and ready. The word from Donnie Murphy, the skipper, is that these guys are going to be aggressive and we're going to get go, go, go baseball all summer long.
Now, Tyler, the fans may not realize that, you know, not only are they playing in Oregon this year because of the border issues and not being able to cross, but also they moved from short season single A to regular season single A. The affiliation with the Jays stays, which is fantastic for everyone here in Canada. So give us an idea or a sense of some players that we should, you know, keep an eye on that you're looking forward to seeing this year and suiting up for the Canadians as they start their journey to hopefully one day play for the big club in Toronto.
Absolutely. Across the board, I think Seas fans are really going to appreciate a better brand of baseball. I think there is something to be said for getting guys fresh out of college or high school or signed as an international free agent as a teenager and making their professional debut at the Nat. Certainly that was a rich and valuable experience for those guys and for Seas fans, but now we've got guys who've got some professional baseball experience under their belt. They've refined their skills. The guys who can hack it or throw it have certainly been weeded out, and they are still with the club. And so certainly looking forward to a season of Advanced Day Baseball this year and beyond. And, of course, the environment, the atmosphere, the fan base at the Nat and in Vancouver is deserving of, let's be real, a big league team, but certainly an Advanced Day team. And so I'm excited for when that day comes for C's fans to get to see Advanced Day Baseball in person. Now, speaking of C's fans, a lot of names to recognize on the 2021 opening day roster. In fact, 19 of the 28 guys that we currently have active have previously worn the C's red and white. That includes tonight's starter and the number 10 Blue Jays prospect. In fact, he's been upgraded to number 9 after a recent graduation of, I believe, Alejandro Kirk, but it's going to be Adam Klopfenstein on the mound tonight doing his thing for the C's. Of course, 2 years ago, he was 4-4 with a 2.24 ERA over 13 starts for the C's in rookie ball, and I'm excited to see what the 20-year-old hurler can bring. He's also the youngest player on a roster that averages 23.5 years old, so we'll see what Adam can do to start the charge tonight. And speaking of those top 30 prospects, you've got C.J. Van Eck doing his thing as the number 10 prospect, as well as Will Robertson. So those are the three guys who are ranked prospects, but up and down the list of 28, certainly looking forward to contributions from pretty much any guy who's already played pro ball, though keep an eye on CJ since he's coming out of Florida State. This will be his professional debut this year. Got some work at the minor league camp last year, but hadn't pitched in a professional game yet. So certainly looking forward to when he gets his turn. But a lot of exciting things to come. And although of all the teams in the system, you might say AA New Hampshire is the one that you want to keep your eye on in terms of prospects, I think these C's are really going to make some noise in the High A West this year.
A little bit of Canadian content as well on the roster with a couple of players there as well.
Yeah, that's right. We've got a couple of guys, in fact. We've got Will McCaffer. He's from North Vancouver. And then we also have Tanner Kerwer. He's from Sherwood Park in Alberta. So always nice to get some guys from Canada playing for Canada's minor league team. And I love the story of any Canadian player, I think at the big league level, Jordan Romano, certainly a guy who has made his way through the system and is doing it for his home province and home country at the highest level. I think it's really easy to root for those guys. And even though I grew up in San Diego, California, I did spend 3 seasons with AA New Hampshire prior to joining the Canadians. So my Blue Jays love starting to run deeper and deeper, and nice to see a lot of familiar faces at the highest level. And there are certainly some names on the 2021 C's opening day roster that I think certainly you could put on the short list to make their big league debut in the very near future.
I know, Tyler, the hope is eventually if the border is able to be opened and people are allowed to cross back and forth, maybe in the late summer or early fall, that the C's will be back here. But just give us a sense of the setup down there for the players. And I know it, for them it's probably just another stop on their career, but it is a little bit different, obviously, being called from Vancouver and playing in Hillsborough. But how good do the guys have it? And I'm guessing what a great job the C's have done as an organization to set you guys up to have some success and to travel around and put your best foot forward.
Indeed. Certainly have to lead off by saying a big tip of the cap is due to the Hillsboro Hops organization from the front office led by K.L. Wambacher, their president. They have welcomed us with open arms, and they have done everything they can and then some to make us feel welcome and to help us turn Ron Tonkin Field in Hillsboro into Nat Bailey Stadium South for when we're the home team. It's going to be interesting when we play the Hops when they're the visitors in their home park, so I'm excited for when that comes around. But what we have the benefit of is being in this wonderful recreational facility that includes multiple Little League and softball fields. There's a football stadium where our front offices are located in the press box, and it also allows us to utilize 4 large clubhouses in the bowels of that football stadium, 2 of which we've turned into the C's home clubhouse, and the other 2 belong to the visitors for both when we have visitors visiting us as the C's being the home team, and then, of course, when the Hops are hosting the rest of the teams in the league as well. So lots of space, and certainly have set it up as close to big league as possible. You want to give these guys as great of an experience in the clubhouse, on the field, in the dugout. And our team president, Andy Dunn, our executive vice president, Tom Backemeyer, and our assistant general manager, Steph Ellis, are the other 3 front office staffers who are with me on site in Hillsboro. Those 3 have done a wonderful job to get everything dialed in to welcome the team last week. And from there, we've kind of passed it over to Donnie Murphy, the skipper, as mentioned. Brandon Hammerstrom is the athletic trainer, and he's taking care of all the COVID protocol and making sure guys are taking care of themselves. And we've got plenty of space, and guys are coming in waves. They can't shower at the facility the same way. So it's certainly not your usual experience, on top of the fact that you're playing somewhere that you didn't anticipate this year. But in an unprecedented season like this, might as well experience all of the changes at once and just embrace it as a very odd but certainly exciting year to come.
He is Tyler Zickel, the play-by-play voice of the Vancouver Canadiens, which you'll hear quite often here on Sportsnet 650 tomorrow night as well. And also you can jump online for the streams at CanadiansBaseball.com and Sportsnet.ca/650. Tyler, thank you very much, and we'll speak to you throughout the year.
Absolutely, gentlemen. Thank you very much for having me, and most importantly, go Seas.
It is Tyler Zickel of the Vancouver Canadiens who kick off their season today. Opening day, it's always a majestic. For some reason, opening day in baseball feels like it's a bigger deal than every other sports team. Like, I don't know why. Maybe it's just the pageantry of it all because it's summer. But something about opening day in baseball is just better than week one in the NFL. It's better than tip-off in the NBA. And it's better than opening face-off in the NHL.
Yeah, especially, too, when it's usually here at the Nat in June and you could get outside and have a bevy or two and enjoy, you know, sitting at the hay all porch and just a really great scene, vibe, and atmosphere. So, you know, hats off to the Seas for getting the season underway. I'm sure the Blue Jays are happy that their prospects are going to get the work in. But, you know, here's hoping that by the end of summer or September, before the year's out, that the Seas can get back into Vancouver and people can enjoy a ball game out at Nat Bailey.
Look at the restraint on your part, a bevy or two.
Hey, I live out in the valley, pal. Like, I can only have a bevy or two. I guess they could take an Uber. But
yeah, there you go. I mean, that's a costly Uber going from the Nat to the Fraser Valley.
Yeah, it is, but it wouldn't be the first time, I guess.
You're making the management dollars, though. It's fine. It's fine.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Us entry-level employees, you know, we take the SkyTrain or something like that.
But you see, that's why you want the boss to go with you. So then the boss puts
yeah,
down the company
right.
card, right? And then you don't have to worry about
Drop the Uber off halfway. Vic Nazar and Craig McDewitt here on Vic and the Boss on a Canucks game day. So we mentioned Nate Schmidt there, or Yannick Hansen mentioned Nate Schmidt. We're just talking about the long-term viability of what this roster looks like. And it's an interesting name. It's a name we've kind of heard, you know, some rumblings about in the past leading up to the trade deadline. But obviously, it's going to get heightened in the offseason because, look, they're going to have to fix a lot of things this offseason. And if this timeline you want to believe of, hey, 2 years is when we're ready, okay, well, do you want a 32-year-old D-man at that stage? And let's be real, Nate Schmidt's going to have interest in the offseason. Teams will covet and value what Nate Schmidt can do, and it's essentially a free roll for the Vancouver Canucks. They capitalize on a moment when Vegas needs to get rid of him because they want to bring in Petrangelo, and it's all profit at this stage because if you manage to trade him, you're not trading him for a third-round pick. You're trading him for a sizable package in return. It gives you cap relief. It might bring you some assets, and this is something that they're going to have to take a look at in the offseason. And if you also wanted to clear up some room for, you know, your Rathbones coming into the lineup, is this a thing that you try to explore?
It's something you look at, but don't forget about, you know, Hamonic, Edler. You can't lose too many good defensemen. And by good, I mean experienced NHL guys who can compete and play at that level. So the problem with going too young and giving these prospects the keys to the car and letting them drive it with, you know, Myers sticking around and Hughes still here. Like, you do need those guys on the back end that are stabilizing forces. So you're right. The decision about Schmidt has to be made. Is he going to fit into our window when the opportunity presents itself? What's he going to look like? But that veteran presence, especially, you know, let's say Edler doesn't come back, you know, we're not sure about, you know, Hammond. There's a number of question marks here. So if they're going to blow it up and get rid of all those guys and lose out on all that sort of stuff, that's where it becomes problematic, I believe, and you might have to hang on to a Schmidt.
The difficult part for me is I always viewed Schmidt as your Edler succession plan. right? Because you can put Edler down a bit lower in the lineup as he ages, and you can flip Schmidt back to his regular side. But if you are intending on making this move, now who's going to play top 4 minutes on the left-hand side next year? That's the issue. And hey, if you use Schmidt as a vehicle to get someone that's a bit more natural on the left side, sure, I can see that. But you are losing that succession plan unless it is, hey, Jack Rathbone ready to step in. But that to me is a big, big ask for what you want to accomplish next season.
Yeah, it is a big ask because, as we all know, defensemen take longer than forwards, mm-hmm. in the most cases, to develop and get used to the game and play the game at a high level. And, you know, you've seen teams, you know, Edmonton for one, Nurse has turned out to be a nice defenseman now, but they struggled over the years to find that decor that, you know, is solid and, you know, hard to play against and can help chip in offensively. Canucks have some pretty good pieces back there. Whether you say Edler's getting close to being too old or for the job, but you know Hamonic has fit in nicely this year. Schmidt has provided some offensive times and maybe not had the huge impact that I thought he would, but he's been coming around of late. So if it ain't broke and you can keep it, then maybe you don't have to fix it. But you're right, if you want to provide an opportunity for a young guy, it's going to be interesting the chess moves and pieces that get dealt or changed here in order to fit something in.
Vic Nazar, Craig McEwen, we will make way for the People Show coming up at 3 o'clock. They'll take you to 5 o'clock with your Land Rover pregame show. Sat Dan ran deep. You got your pregame roundtable at 6. Batch and Corey Hirsch take it from there, and you have your call at 7 o'clock. Canucks versus Oilers should be, hopefully, a competitive one. That's where we're at now. We're talking about competitive rather than playoffs on the line or something like that. You'll see if they can bounce back tonight. Elliot Friedman on the way at 4 o'clock, Eddie Lack at 3:30, and Irfan Ghaffar at 5 o'clock. Coming up on the People's Show here on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650.